This morning I would like to take particular attention to that last verse we sang. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure's store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. This morning, in the short time that I have here, that I know I've got, I want to open the Bible this morning to maybe three or four passages which is involved in the communion, I feel. And I've set them up on the board now, they're behind me. But before I start, I've put down the other text that came straight away into mind, John 3:16. Couldn't help this one. This is flow. This is just a flowing thing from what I'm doing today. And I'm reading from this Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is what it says. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The great truth that motivated God's plan of salvation, it says from the study Bible. God's plan of salvation was just that. It's not on the board. I haven't put it there. But this morning, for a few moments, I want to look at something. Because in the lesson this morning, we were talking about Jesus having trouble in the cornfield, whatever it was. In the healing on the Sabbath, which I'd done previously in November, whatever. All through Jesus' life, it appears that he's had problems. One way or another. No matter what, he came to this earth to have life on earth and be one with us. There was a program on SBS this week and it talked about Jesus of Nazareth in the carpenter shop on SBS one night this week. I don't know if someone saw it. It was done by Simon Reeve and they took it back into the Old Testament times of when what a carpenter shop actually looked like when Jesus was alive. And it showed you the tools and it showed the implements. Quite interesting. Just what it was to be like to have been a carpenter back in those times. It's an interesting program. Went for an hour on SBS. I just happened to flick into it one night when I was in Melbourne. Amazing. But I want to talk this morning from three passages. The first is found in Corinthians 11:17-30. And it talks about in the passage that I'm going to read this morning, a little bit of, not all of it, it warns about there are divisions among you. Divisions can be many things, many ways. People may not see eye to eye with one another. They may not see this. They might have a division. They might have odd socks on or more of this. It looks funny. They have divisions amongst themselves. Divisions can be a barrier, a problem. Jesus dealt with problems and barriers. And if you look through the chapter that I'm about to pick the highlights out of for a few minutes this morning, you will see what I'm talking about, the barriers, the problems. The Bible is entitled, it's going to be called the Lord's Supper, and I'll be dealing with this later on. 1 Corinthians 11:17-30. And it reads, in the following directives I have praised you, for your meetings are more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions. Are there divisions in this church? I'm not talking about here. I'm not going to talk about here this morning. I'm not talking about here. That's nothing. Are there divisions within our churches today? There are problems. It's just a little warning, a little division here that we see. Now, it's interesting because it reads this. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt that you have differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it says, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, and it goes on. I don't want to touch that just yet. Don't you have homes? Come down to verse 22. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Think about it. That's what I'm doing. Just think about it for a minute. I'm just letting you think. Division. Despise. Do we despise some people because of the way they are, the way they look, the way they act? Or do we associate with them because we have to? Or do we like them? It says that we have to be careful. Come down to verse 27 and 28. Let's read 28. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Another thing I want to talk about this morning. How am I feeling? Am I okay with the Lord? Am I here? Have I done things right? Have I sinned with anybody? Have I done something wrong? Do I need to go and say sorry to this person over there? Or fix up something around the corner? That's why it talks about, later on in the chapter, the meek and the sick. I'm only touching the highlights because I've got a section I've got to read later on. I'm deliberately leaving that. I'm looking at the section here where there's division. There are divisions amongst us. Just as there could be animosity in the house, in the family life, yes, the family life, divisions in the family, all that sort of thing. You least expect it when it comes. Jesus, to one extent, it talks about this as Jesus' life was that way. He didn't know how the crowd was going, well, he did probably, didn't know how the crowd was going to react in certain ways, in certain situations. Look at the mention this morning where the man said, take up thy bed and walk. Interesting statement. Because most people carried their beds with them in those days. Their bed was where they rolled up, like what we call a swag today. You carried your bed with you so that when you got tired, you slept under the stars or whatever. You rolled your bed up and you went on. Jesus was making a statement. He's making a statement today. In this particular verse it talks, that's why many among you are weak and sick. A number of you have fallen asleep. Talks about these things. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. Just a little thought I'm trying to bring out in this particular section this morning. Just for a few minutes, because I've only got a short period. I'll be coming back to that one later on. Come with me now to John chapter 13. I haven't quite finished. John chapter 13. I'm sorry if this is a bit short, but I've got to keep it short. John 13, 1 to 15. John 13, 1 to 15. Here we see the situation in John where my Bible says Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Straight away I can see through this particular 15 verses two things. First of all, Jesus sets the example by doing it himself. If it's good enough for someone else, it's good enough for Jesus to set the example. So I take it from there straight away. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, now he showed them the full extent of his love. Do you go the extra mile, the extra yard? Can you do that for somebody? Somebody that's in need, somebody that might need a light put on or a light bulb or a paling fence fixed up or something? Or a farmer that's in distress because you've got to go out and pick up dead lambs? Yes, I have. It's you've got to be able to help. It's interesting here that as we read through this particular chapter verse, the evening meal has been served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew this was coming. I want to turn over the page now, my page, because it gets a bit more interesting here. Further down here, it reads this. Here comes the division. It starts by me reading this. So he got up from the meal, this is Jesus, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Division. Look at verse 6. When he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Division in verse 8. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet. You're the Lord." I put that last bit. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you have no part with me." "Then the Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Do me as well." And then Jesus explains. Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet while his whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Look at verse 11. "For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he had said, not everyone was clean." Look at the way that was put. Jesus, in total control here, explains the situation. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and returned to his place. Jesus didn't stand out and be one up here, up there. He went back to his place and sat at the seat. He didn't want to make a spectacle of himself. He just did this to be able to show what was required. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he said. "You can call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for I told you what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do this as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, not a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And that's why we are here today. We are here today to commune with one another in this sacred ceremony, washing one another's feet, eating the bread, and drinking the cup today. It means something. And I'm glad that I do this quite often, once every quarter or whatever it comes along, because it renews my strength, it renews my vigour, if I like to say, with Jesus Christ. A simple act. If I can remember back when I was in Easter time in Melbourne, Easter time was a time when Jesus died on the Friday, Good Friday. He rested on the Sabbath and he rose on the Sunday morning. That Sunday morning must have been miraculous. But this, I'm going to take it a step back further from this now, because I want to look at something else. Something else that perturbs me here today, just for a little five or six minutes. I want to take it back. And Jesus answered, "Will you really Will you do this for me? Will you wash one another's feet here in humility? Will you do that for me and share my life in the way that I have set for you?" Jesus, in total control, set the example for us. Set the example for us that he motivated this for our benefit. Now this morning I want to step back one more time. I'm going to step back to the time when Jesus was in Gethsemane. Yes, and I've got it there on the board. Jesus in the garden at Gethsemane. Now I've got the three down here. And I want to look at the three. I just want to look at one maybe, or two. If I haven't got now, I've got to do one. Look at Matthew 26, 35 to 40, 36 to 45. This, when I was preparing this, I was thinking about this. Matthew 26, 36 to 45. My eyes are not quite right. Yes, here we are. Jesus and Gethsemane. I'm going to read this all because I think this has meaning. This has meaning for me, and I'm sure it does for you. There are others that I've got, they're on the board. Matthew 26, 36 to, what I say, 45. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and with him two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, as we know, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Notice the fact, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, is it possible? May this cup be taken from me, yet as I will, but your will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. My point is coming now. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away for the second time and prayed. My Father, it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I have drink it. May your will be done. When he came back again, he found them again sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinner. Rise and let's go. Here comes the betrayer. I'm not going to read the other two in Mark or Luke, but they are similar vein. But the main point is, it comes out here today in this particular thought to me, is, may I say this roughly, are we sleeping? Are we Christians today, in the society today, sleeping behind the wheel? Are we asleep in the back pew? Or are we fully awake for God, Jesus? Because I can see the similarities here. Have we neglected? Are we in some sort of slumber as Christians? Do we need to be fired up somehow? I can't answer for you. Yes, I do. I need a kick in the rear end, or a guard's van, as I call it sometimes. Yes, it does help. We need that. But it's interesting that Jesus went away three times and he came back and he found people sleeping, his disciples sleeping. We are lucky in our lives that we might be caught sleeping, but we have an avenue, a program to prayer to Jesus Christ. And because of that is available to us, we are lucky. So I want to end this particular section this morning, part one, this morning, by saying this. Are we alert to our situation around us, or are we sleeping? Jesus wants us to be alert in the Christian life, to be fully functional, to be able to help people out there in all our ways. I wanted to finish that this morning by saying this before I go. For God so loved the world that he loves you, that he gave his only begotten Son at Easter for our benefit. That in him we should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life in Jesus Christ, if we so choose. if we want it. So this morning, just quickly, a study there can be found in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, number 733 in the hymn book, and 734, Matthew 27. And there's another one, 842, which is Philippians 2, which is I haven't put up there. But they are all associated with this presentation here this morning. I was going to read this morning, a Bible reading this morning, but Peter got before me. I was going to read Psalm 19, but I thought, no, I'll carry on. So we're going to separate now, out the back, excuse me, and as we separate this morning, before we go out there, I'm going to stand up and say a prayer, and you can sit there, bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning we've been able to spend studying your word. And I pray now, Lord, that as we separate to our prospective areas, that the Holy Spirit will be amongst us as we meet and partake of this service. Lord, may there not be a mean word said or bad thought, but uphold you in all ways possible. I ask these things now as we separate. Amen.